though it's fallen out of the news cycle, gun deaths still dominate much of American life. They are both a big part of the homicides and the suicides that define the gun problem that we have in America. And while the Michigan legislature has made some recent strides to try to have an effect on those gun deaths and on gun possession and safety, Congress has not really been able to do much on this front. But there are some members of Congress who are still working to keep the public safer from firearms. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell is one of those people, and she has recently proposed allowing the Consumer Product Safety Commission to regulate firearms, a really interesting idea that would bring greater accountability to gun manufacturers. To talk about this, we've got Congresswoman Dingell here. Debbie, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Stephen, it is great to be with you.
Yes, it's great to have you here in person as well. Even though going out and, trying to get places like this is not the safest thing to be doing right now. But let's talk about the Consumer Safety Act and why, first of all, gun manufacturers have an exemption to that act and why you would remove that exemption in this legislation.
Okay, I want to be really clear. I do not consider this a form of gun control. People right. hear the word gun control. Now, there are things that I do support that I would talk to you about very directly. But this bill is about making sure that guns are safe. Mm-hmm. They are the only consumer product in this country that is not subject to a review. Or if there is something unsafe about the product, that it cannot be recalled, that manufacturers cannot be held accountable for ensuring that people are safe. And there is actually a gun on the market now that has killed people. It is locked. Even when the lock is on, no one touches the trigger. It is going off accidentally. And no one has the jurisdiction to require the manufacturer to do something about it, to require it to be recalled, to put out a notice to all of its purchasers mm-hmm. that it is not safe. So all I'm saying is it should be subject to any other rules and laws for safety that consumer products are in the United States. And quite frankly, it was my husband, who I loved but disagreed with on this subject, as you well know, who initially, and I think that when I did this before he died, mm-hmm. I started this, excuse me, I am one of the people that yeah. was outside for hours yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
Said times have changed. And I think that people were concerned that when that this could have been used as a form of gun control years ago. There was a great deal of debate, as I've looked into it and read it, about should the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms do it, consumer, and everybody was worried nothing happened and it was kept from happening. I simply believe that, like any other product, I have fought for other products to be lawn darts mm-hmm. for children, mm-hmm. for automobiles, that guns should not be exempt from that kind of oversight.
So gun manufacturers, of course, fear that this opening them up to this kind of responsibility or liability will bring a raft of lawsuits that would affect their business, right? They're not just concerned, I think, about faulty products. They're concerned about the death that's associated with guns, and that they could ultimately be held held liable under consumer laws for that. How do you answer that?
So just as the automobiles companies are worried and trial lawyers work in terms of, is the automobile company liable if a driver hits somebody, is drunk driving? No, they're not. And this bill would be written so it would be about keeping the product safe, that it does not malfunction, that it does not have a defective product. It needs to be written, it is written, like any other consumer product in this country.
Yeah. So what's the likelihood that this gets through a Congress that's divided, first of all, and you're in the chamber that's controlled now by Republicans? You do have a Democratic president, but not all Democrats agree on things like this. So give me a sense of the reaction from your colleagues.
Well, last year, I think it got more attention last year. Even the speaker was unaware that this was there. There was disagreement among, I'm not going to lie, among my Democratic colleagues as to whether the consumer product safety should have jurisdiction over this. Could they handle it? But I think it's an education process like it is with any bill. And I have Republicans who are unaware of it. I think we have to make sure it does not become subject to all of the rhetoric, all of the extreme passion and emotions about anything gun-connected. And when you just go to the stark reality that there's a consumer product on the market that has killed people because of a safety defect, people say, well, maybe we should be looking at this.
Whenever I talk with you about guns and gun control, I'm always really aware that this is not just a policy issue for you. It's a personal issue, and I always want to give you the space to talk about what this means to you, not just your relationship with John, who was a very strong advocate of the Second Amendment and a hunter, but also your family and your growing up and the way that guns and access to guns has kind of shaped your sensibilities.
I think that I'm one of the people that is able to see both sides of this issue better than many. I was married to a man for almost 40 years that I loved with my whole heart and soul. Yes, he was on the NRA board of directors, which no Republican can even imagine in this day and age. And quite frankly, until the day he died, he slept with a gun under his pillow. He was a responsible gun owner, and I felt safe living with him. Having said that, I lived with a man that should not have had access to guns. And I think, you know, for years, I tried to think of how do you keep guns out of the hands of people that should not have them.
Mm-hmm. This was your father.
This was my father. It is not always easy to talk about this. Yeah. I never know what I'm going to say until I say it. But for those that don't know, my father was a drug addict, had a prescription drug problem. Nobody knew or understood what opioids were in those days. Probably had other mental, was bipolar or, you know, we didn't talk about mental health issues in those days either. But I kept my parents from killing each other. I got in the middle of a fight and kept those guns. We hid in closets. We're sure that we were going to die. We knew what it was like to be scared, to pray to God and say, please let me live another day. Call the police and ask for help and have nobody come. I have lived in a household with a responsible gun owner. And I have lived in a household with a man that should not have had a gun. And these are very challenging, difficult issues. And I wish sometimes people could take deep breaths and just listen to both sides. And how do you ensure that responsible gun owners can still have their guns and people that shouldn't have guns not have guns?
I think that's a really important kind of point to pause and stop and think about. You believe that there is a point somewhere in the middle that we could reach where people are not under the threat of violence that they live under today, but that gun owners and gun advocates would also be able to do what they want to do and indulge what is a constitutional right in this country. You think that's possible to reach that point?
I would like to, I wish we could take all of the emotion out of it. I do think we have a real problem, and the mental health advocates don't like to talk about this, but we have a problem with mental health issue. We haven't wanted to talk about it. There's a taboo on it. And suicides by guns are up. They're too available. We need to talk about our kids. And our kids who think they need to have it to defend themselves, how many guns are on the streets, how many young people we're seeing killed in America. We need to figure out why these mass shootings. I wish that instead of pointing fingers or not, we could just talk about it and really try to figure out how do you protect all people's rights. Doesn't a student in a high school or a grade school, someone shopping in a mall or going to a movie theater, have rights to think they can go there and be safe?
I also want to talk just a little about what's going on with the air. You know, the inability to walk outside without choking on the air is something I'm not sure I ever thought we would experience the way that we are right now here in Detroit. Of course, you have been an environmental advocate for a really long time, and of course, John was maybe the original, environmental advocate in Congress. What do we do about this? How should we be thinking about it?
Well, I called my asthma doctor this morning because I was outside most of the day. It was Eid Mubarak to my friends, and I was outside most of the day yesterday, and as you can hear in my voice and my cough, I've had a real increase, and I don't normally have. I don't have to take the albuterol. I do the preventative stuff. What is exasperating this is the wildfires, we all know, which unfortunately we're seeing more of. We think of ourselves in the Midwest that we're not going to that's a California problem or somebody else's problem and not ours. And all of a sudden we realize it's ours. And not only is it happening in Canada, but it's happening up north. It's happening the dry weather, and it's going to increase. We can see it. I saw it in Washington when I was there. You couldn't see the Washington Monument at days, and I'm seeing it here. And it's going to get worse. Temperatures are going to get higher. We have life-threatening temperatures in many states around the country. We've got to figure out a whole lot of issues here. And we are, I think, in Detroit. I've been working very hard on air emissions, water. I mean, water is not the problem right now on the asthma and mm-hmm. the air that we are all breathing. Last night, I had a EPA and Eagle and the Attorney General at a town hall on the Gelman plume. We live in an area, we live in the best area in the country. I think the heartland is the heart of America. We have four seasons, but we are a manufacturing area. We're the backbone of the American economy, and we've got to get to more clean technology. So, and global climate is real, and reality is hitting us here in Michigan right now with these wildfires and giving us a glimpse of what more is going to happen if we don't address it.
We've only got about a minute left, but you have colleagues who have been busy trying to remove the teeth from the EPA, some of them right here in our state. I wonder if you've heard from them about what they think now. I mean, sometimes it takes an extreme event to make people focus differently on something. Have you heard from anyone who's saying, wait a second, this maybe we're doing the wrong thing?
I talk to a lot of people. I'm not naming names, but we all have to accept the fact that this is real and none of our constituents are liking it, and that they're people that are having real health effects. And how do we work together to address it?
Well, let's hope. Let's hope they're paying attention and that we get someplace, because this is ridiculous. It's almost July 4th, and we may not be able to be outside the way that that we normally are. Okay, Debbie Dingell, it is always great to talk with you. It's always great to have you here. Thanks so much for coming in for Detroit Today.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we are likely going to be talking about the decision that the U.S. Supreme Court is set to make on affirmative action and what consequences that will have here in Michigan. The justices are going to gather in about 2 minutes in Washington, and I imagine that this is the last day of opinions, and so that opinion should be among them, and we will talk about it tomorrow if it is in that batch. If not, we'll have other great programming for you here on the show. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.